thought we'd sing that through twice. Well, amen. Good to see y'all here today, and I'm glad you ice, and hopefully more people will be getting here in a little bit, but we're thankful to see you. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue. Father, I ask that you bless the Sunday school hour, the singing, as well as the preaching coming up. I ask that you bless here. We need you. I ask that you meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, maybe seated. You know, this past week I had a special blessing. Got on a Zoom call with my mom, 93-year-old lady living in Houston. And someone asked her, my sister asked her if she wanted to sing Jesus Loves Me. And we normally sing with her as a kind of like a little trio. But she sang it all the way through by herself, didn't miss a word. So that was a real blessing. She's the one that I started singing with when I was a little boy. Anyway, we're going to sing Holy Bible, Book Divine.
Holy Bible, Book Divine, precious treasure, thou art mine, mine to tell me whence I came, mine to teach me what I am, mine to chide me when I look, mine to show a Savior's love, mine thou art to guide and guard, mine to punish or reward, mine to comfort in distress, suffering in this wilderness, mine to show by living faith, man can triumph over death, mine to tell of joys to come, and the rebel sinner's doom. Oh, thou holy book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine.
Is Hannah, you coming?
Father time. There are some that I could do and I could say, but all I really have is today. So here I am. I could redo, and Lord, I've even failed you too. If life was just a show, I think I'd hit rewind, but I can't refill the hourglass of time. So here I am, excuse me, Lord, give
About it as I was going to sleep and thinking he worked for Brother Vineyard for years and years and years. And we went up there for the youth conferences. He always had a smile on his face, even at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, anybody worked for Brother Vineyard that long? I mean, wow. You got it. So, Brother Vineyard.
Well, things to remember, overpasses, slow down. I mean, they have all of them shut off to my knowledge. The roads, and again, I drove out from out. They have all the interchanges. They have anything that has a under it and above it, but the roads are all safe. But the rule of thumb always is stop before you get to where you normally would stop to make sure you can stop. If you've ever turned sideways or skidded, you know that uneasy feeling in your tummy, which means I am out of control and the car is doing whatever the car wants to do, and I'll stop when I either hit something or something else happens. But, again, take your foot off the brake. The brake is not your friend during ice and snow. Again, so be careful about that. Brother Ross is going to be speaking to us. Grab your King James Bibles and you'll enjoy yourselves.
Thank you, Brother Block and Brother Taylor. I appreciate it. I had one formula for surviving Dr. Vineyard all those years, and that was stay 6 inches ahead of his boot tip at all times. And there were too many times I wasn't 6 inches ahead and paid dearly for that. But boy, those were days. I got here early this morning and drove through the parking lot and drove around behind the building and just looked back to when that was the church building and this building wasn't here. And just reflected on so many things. And Brother Taylor, all those times of greeting the children, you know, in the Sunday school opening exercises and things like that. This place is a hallowed place in my heart. It brings back a lot of good memories. But as I was going through the parking lot, I saw the car parts place next door, and I was reminded, oh, there's something I need to get. So I drove in the parking lot. And as I paid for the thing, and I'm walking out, and the man at the counter, whom I've never met in my life, he said, hey, he said, Mr. Ross. I turned around, and I thought, boy, that was spooky, you know. I thought, I didn't even pay him. I paid the other guy, and how did he know my name? He says, do you know George Wallace? Or do you know Brother Wallace? And I said, well, yeah. I said, the Brother Wallace I know lives here in San Antonio. He said, well, he wants to know if you want to eat breakfast across the street. I said, boy, this is spooky here. You know, you walk in, they not only know you didn't eat, they got somebody over there waiting to feed you. So that started out real good today. Mrs. Joplin, it's always good to see your son at work at Trinity Baptist in Arlington. Hello. When we get to go over there, and it's always a joy when your family is able to come up and visit. Also, I did, Brother Nichols, probably leave off 5 or 6 more people that told me to tell you hello, but Dr. Brian Sharp, Brother Todd Lassiter, Dr. Bob Smith, Dr. Carl Ogde, Dr. Joe Finn called, and he said to say hello. And there's probably, beside all those doctors, there's even a few nurses in there that said to say hello. And it's always a great time to come back down here to San Antonio. I apologize. My wife is not with me. Snow and ice, or even the prospect of it, scares her half to death. The only thing that scares her worse is me behind the wheel in conditions like that. And so with that combination, she opted not to come. I did talk to her this morning. She said the snow is now falling up there. The temperatures are way, way down, even lower than normal. And Mike Ruiz even wrote, and he said, Brother Ross, he said, I just looked at the weather. And he said, it's 3 degrees in San Antonio. I wrote him back. I said, I'm looking for all three of them right now. Just any time they want to show up, it'll be nice. But, folks, it's great to see you. And just thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Let me ask you to turn this morning in Sunday school to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll use that as a jumping off point. We'll have some other scriptures, of course. But I just want to deal with a topic called Seven Principles to Live By. Seven principles to live by. We may not realize it, but we all live by principle. When a person turns out right, that's not an accident. When a person turns out wrong, that's not an accident either. When a church is doing well, that's not an accident. And when a church is not turning out well and all kinds of problems, that's not an accident either. We need principles to live by. Now, I mentioned before, my dad, we had four boys in the home, Tim, Bob, John, Bill. I was number two, but my dad would occasionally give us that lecture. He'd show us that left fist, and he'd say, boys, he says, that's 6 months in the hospital. And he says, and that is sudden death. And we'd all say, well, what for, Dad? And he said, well, for certain things that you don't ever want to forget. Don't ever forget, for example, to take your hat off when you're inside a building. Don't forget to call people Mr. or Mrs. or Miss or Ma'am or Sir or whatever. When they are older than you, you show respect. And it'd be a good idea if you'd show respect even to your peers and so on. Just if you're going to err on the side of kindness. He'd say that. He said, now, and John would say, well, Dad, was that a six-month one or was that a year, you know, or you know, permanent death if we forget? He said, well, let me illustrate it this way. If I ever hear any of you boys at any stage of your life call your mother by her first name, you're going to get that one. And one day, one summer day, we're out there working in the yard. It was hot, and we'd been out there pulling those weeds a while. And heaven help us, a lady down the street named Minnie Souza. She was about that tall and just about as wide. And she could speak 250 words a minute with occasional wind gusts of over 500. And man, I'm telling you, once she started, she never took a breath. You know, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. I'm standing out front. I was really in need of some ice water or lemonade or tea or something to nourish the parched tongue and everything. And I look in there, and there's Mom. And Mom's just kind of leaning back in her chair as Minnie is on the other side of the table, leaning forward, pushing her back with all the verbiage that was coming out. And so Mom's over there, and I said, Mom, I said, hey, Mom, and it got louder, Mother, and nothing was working, absolutely nothing was working. I couldn't get a word in edgewise and let her know her son was out here dying of thirst. And so I just, for a moment, kind of said, I was going to say Eileen, that was her first name, I just got the I out. And out of nowhere, I had no idea Dad was right around the corner. Out of nowhere, thump, I got hit right in the temple. Man, I don't know how long I laid there in the thorn bushes and everything else, but it was a while. And pretty soon, your life comes back into focus. And he says, son, oh, yes. He said, you weren't going to call your mother by her first name, were you? I mean, I got a six-month shot just because he thought I was going to say that word. I would have gotten that one if I'd have finished the word, and I hesitate to even give the illustration because I still think some way or another God's going to allow him out of heaven for a moment just to reacquaint me with the seriousness of this. You know what that was? That was a principle I almost forgot. You want to know what it was after that? It was a principle I never forgot. I'm not going to do it. We need to live by principle. Every one of us are fortunate in life if we have a really good friend. I thank the Lord. I feel like I've got many really good friends right here at Liberty Baptist Church. I've always called this place home away from home, and it truly is. And as you go down the road in life a little bit further, you're mindful of that just almost every day. A good friend is a wonderful thing to have. Another wonderful friend I had for many years was Dr. Rick Dawson. And Rick Dawson used to talk about seven principles to live by. Those principles have come back into my mind, and oftentimes here of late, and certain people call and have certain problems. I think of Brother Nick Suttmeyer right now. Brother Nick called and told me that the government of Mexico is shutting them down. And I know he's facing lots of things in that decision. And that's a mind-boggling experience. It's not the happiest moment of your life. I've been trying to encourage him through this. And I know your pastor, Brother Nichols, has certainly been an encouragement to Brother Nick. And Brother Nick, I don't know very many people like Nick and Patty, that where they go, you're not down for long. You get around them, it's impossible to stay down. They are up kind of people. They're rejoicing kind of people. You turn Nick Suttmeyer loose in a pulpit and people are going to be laughing shortly. He just gets into some of those illustrations, especially that snake in the bathtub illustration. And I'll tell you, I laugh like I've never heard that before. In fact, where he goes, he's oftentimes requested, give this illustration, this illustration, this illustration. Nobody can ever tell you what message it went with, but don't forget to give the illustration. Yeah. And a guy like that, Nick Suttmeyer, I just hate to see him down. Right. I thought about Mike and his family, Mike Ruiz. There are certain places that I pass on I-35 coming to San Antonio where I particularly have Michael Ruiz in mind. I went through West Texas yesterday. It was too slippery to stop, but I passed that Kolache place that he won't pass through there without stopping at that place. So I thought, well, I need to let Mike know I was down here and thinking about him. There's another place not too far down the road that on the day that Mike and his wife were married, and that took place here that night, we got on the road and headed home. The phone rang, and I was on the cell phone going through a construction zone, and my wife was over there saying something, but I wasn't paying attention. And pretty soon this car came up behind me with a lot of colored lights and everything. And I thought I would pay attention. At that point, I hung the phone up and pulled over and boom, I got a nice, I thought the guy was very nice. Thought he was going to ask me to sign his New Testament. But no, I didn't do that. I signed something else that it cost me a lot of money just to sign my name to his form. I'd much rather have signed his New Testament. But I also remember Mike particularly and Rachel when I come to that part of town. There are things in life that remind us of right and wrong. Now, what does that remind me of? It reminds me that I need to pay attention to my driving before somebody with all those colored lights shows up asking me for an autograph. I've said before, there was one little sign, a little yellow light. It said 20 miles an hour. Yeah, that was a school zone sign in Oklahoma, in Mesquite, Texas. And I went through there one day, had no knowledge at all of just how serious that was. Just one sign, only sign you'll see anywhere on Beltline Road saying 20 miles an hour. But it did say 20 miles an hour. I ignored it, and I paid dearly for that ignorance of that rule. And then I used it as an illustration. I said, some of you say, well, I only did it once. I only did this once. I said, you know, I only saw that light one time. I didn't pay attention to it. I paid dearly for it. And I'll promise you this. I'm not going to ignore that light ever again. In fact, any yellow light I see, I don't ignore. You know what that taught me? It taught me a valuable principle. You ignore those principles, one of these days somebody's going to run a red light. Happens all the time up where we are. And you may be paying dearly for the ignorance of that principle. And I'd just like to deal with some principles this morning. Let's start, first of all, with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the dear people of Liberty Baptist Church. I thank you for Brother and Mrs. Nichols. I thank you, dear Lord, for the Blocks and the Prices and the Berries and Taylors and the Millikens and just all the folks, Lord, here that make up this great ministry. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll be with us in this Sunday school hour and be with those who may still be on their way in. Be with those who couldn't make it this morning. I pray that, dear Lord, this message might be a blessing and a help to us all. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The first principle that I want to remember this morning is that my body is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. We are not our own. The Bible tells us we're bought with a price. We don't have a right to just go out and abuse this body. Now, I don't think much of this body. Teenagers that I had, the youth ministry, often referred to me as their legal midget youth director. And I suppose every short person wishes they could be taller. I don't know. I've met a few tall people that say they wish they could be shorter. I don't know why we can't share and just work things out in the middle. I'd still be 6 feet sharing what they have left over. But folks, I'll tell you this, your body, whatever it is the temple of God. And we need to remember that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We've got to remember that principle that we are not our own. This body is the temple of the Lord himself. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know in the days of youth, my dad used to say to us all the time growing up, said, boys, there's coming a day in your life where everything that moves hurts. And anything that doesn't hurt doesn't move. And I used to laugh at that. I used to think that that was pretty funny. Not anymore. I think that was divine wisdom that was cast, at the feet of a young man, at least. In my case, wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. And believe me, the days of youth pass quickly by. I know most of you remember the day that you graduated from high school if you're above high school graduation age. Isn't it amazing when you think back to those days how much you remember you could do? And then when you even think about doing those things today, things just don't quite go as smoothly. Not just the other day. I was doing a little bit of yard work, walk around the house. The garden hose is laying on the ground. The garden hose. It's only that big around. It's just laying there like that. And just how hard is it to step over the garden hose? I had both arms loaded with leftover wooden bits and hammer and nail and trying to carry more than I should have been carrying. It wasn't heavy. It was just awkward. Trying to step over that hose. I didn't quite make it. Hit it about halfway. And man, it threw me like I was shot out of a cannon right up into the bricks on the side of the house. Bam! Down in the bushes. Nails rolling everywhere. Boards and hammers and everything else scuffed and skinned up. All the way, man alive. I came in and my wife says, what happened to you? You look like I got hit by a truck. If I wasn't so sore, I would have slapped her for that. And I tell you, I just think all the time, my word, things that were no problem at all in the days of my youth are, it's just unbelievable now. I used to have foot races with the teenagers in the youth department. It challenged you, yeah, I'll take you on and things like that. Today, I used to have different contests and things like that. Oh, boy, it ain't my lunch not to win, not to beat one of those smart mouth, smart aleck teenagers or something like that. And then the day came, said, no, I think I'm going to sit this one out. Days of going to going to an amusement park, Six Flags or something. Come on, Brother Ross, hop on the hop on the roller coaster. That's all right, I'll get pictures of you. What's the matter, you chicken? I ain't chicken. Put that camera down and hop on that roller coaster. Show you who's chicken. And all of a sudden you get in. Boy, I hate the sound of those things. Clack, 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 clack. Start going up. One of those smart Alex back here. Hey, Brother Rob, put your hands in the air. I never have figured out what is the sense of putting your hands in the air. I said, somebody worked hard to put this handrail in here. For our safety and our comfort. And I'm going to see to it that his efforts weren't in vain. What's the matter, you chicken? Up they go. I ain't chicken. And I spent the rest of my life saying, what in the world possessed me to turn loose of that handrail? Try finding it after you made that mistake and you're going left and right at violent speeds and things like that. You can't ever get back registered on that handrail. And so I get off. Now, that used to happen for a few years. And then the day came, I don't care what they call me. I ain't budging from this park bench. Call me whatever you want. I just call that growing up. Amen. And you know what some of you young people are saying right now? That will never happen to me. I want to tell you something, young person. It'll be here before you know it. Have you ever thought your parents, old fogies, when they say, hey! If the two of you can't get along, if the two of you can't say something nice, what's the rest of it? Don't say anything at all. You had some old fogies too. Well, that'll happen until you one day get married. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be bliss. It's going to be joy. Never an argument. Never a disagreement. And we're going to have kids. And you know what's going to happen when you have two of them? They're going to get in an argument. And you're going to run into the room and you're going to all of a sudden, before you even know it, you're going to say, hey, if you two kids can't talk right, then die. You know what you're doing? You're rehearsing a principle that somebody tried to tell you in your life. And the first principle we need to remember is my body is the temple of God. Now, because it is the temple of God, I've got to be careful what I say. I've got to be careful about what I do. I've got to be careful about what I think, because realizing my body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, I realize the Lord is even a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, let me go on. Principle number two, I will not do anything that will hinder a person from being saved. I don't want to be a hindrance to anybody trusting the Lord. A lost person's favorite argument for not getting saved is there's too many hypocrites in the world. Ever heard that one? Just about everybody that's ever tried to win anybody has had to deal with that excuse. What's an excuse? Excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. It's like a great big hot dog. It's got skin and it's got all this junk in between it. And that's what an excuse is. Well, people say, well, I'm not going to get saved. Too many hypocrites in the world. Let's say this pulpit is Christ, and let's say I'm the person that's considering getting saved. Somebody's trying to witness to me, and I'm using a hypocrite as an excuse. Imagine the hypocrite standing right here. When I use that excuse as a lost sinner, what I'm saying is that hypocrite is closer to Christ than I am. What I need to do is get rid of the excuses. And I need to get over here and get saved. And once I get saved, I need to start living like somebody who remembers when I was unsaved, I used hypocrites as an excuse. So what do I not want to be? I don't want to be a hypocrite. Have you ever seen somebody that you loved, admired, respected, do something wrong? It hurts. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll use it as an excuse and you'll go out and do the very thing that you despised in that person. I hate to use this illustration. My older brother was my stepbrother. We had the same mother, different father. He's 8 years older than me. Every now and then, as we were growing up, his father would come back and visit him in our home. And so all of us boys knew his dad. He would come home and he would visit. And after he would leave, my older brother, even when we were little guys, he would have nothing good to say about his dad. My mother would remind him, "Tim, don't talk like that about your dad." Even my dad would remind Tim, "Don't talk like that about your dad." "Well, I just don't like him. I don't care for him." "Your dad is my dad," he would say. Well, we never said your dad or his dad. He's our dad. And my brother grew up recognizing my dad as his dad, but he just never tolerated his real biological dad. His real biological father had a problem with other women, had a problem with alcohol, had a problem with profanity, not in our home. My dad offered that guy the same lecture, 6 months or sudden death. You use one cuss word in front of my wife, mister, you're going out head first, and the 13415 Doolittle Drive, San Leandro, California, zip code 94577. Good luck finding your teeth. You don't cuss in our home. That was the principle. But you know what my brother became? He became a womanizer. He became a drunk, far worse than his father ever imagined. He got involved in things, you wouldn't believe it. Praise the Lord. In 2006, Tim trusted Christ. That was a wonderful thing. But folks, his own words said this: "I cannot believe how I wasted my life." You know what he did? He had no regard for people who tried to live a testimony without being hypocritical, but he used every excuse in the world. "I wouldn't this, I wouldn't that, I wouldn't that." It was always against the Bible, against the Lord, against a good testimony and things like that, until he looked in the mirror and realized, "The hypocrite of hypocrites is me." In what he expected of others, he did not give himself. And in that regard, he was looking at himself as a hypocrite. "Well, I don't want to do anything that will hinder another person from being saved." Let me say number three: I will not be a stumbling block to a weaker Christian. Now, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about what do you do around other Christian friends. I've got to say that I've been with preachers in other places, and some of the most rank stories I've ever heard in my life came from that setting. "I'm out of here." I've had them get up. I've walked away, and some of them, "Oh, okay, okay." And they start reverting to words and names and things like, "Oh, you can't handle it, huh? Can't handle it." I said, same thing I'd wash my child's mouth out for soap. I'm not going to turn around and tolerate another preacher or whatever saying it. I won't give one illustration because it probably would be easy to figure out who it was. But I never heard such profanity in all my life. And I was stuck in a situation. I was in another country and had no way of getting out of there or anything like that until the time to leave came. But when it came and I got back, I did tell Brother Vineyard, "That's the last time for me." He said, "Well, what happened?" And I just barely started in on what happened. He said, "Good night. I have told him repeatedly not to do that." Well, I'll tell you this. When I get around somebody like that, I just kind of mark that one off and say, "I'm not going to create that situation again. I'm done with that. I'm done with that." I don't care how much money you've got, how much influence you've got. If I can't allow my children to do it, and we get all over them for doing it, I'm not going to go stand around somebody else, call himself a preacher, and just sit there and imbibe all that he gives off. That is an offense. Because that offends me, I want to make sure of one thing. I don't want to be that kind of offense to anyone else. I've known Nick Suttmeyer a long time. I've never known Nick to tell an off-colored story. I've known Brother Nichols since 1980. I've never heard Brother Nichols say a thing that was off-color or profane or something like that. Have we laughed? Oh, we've laughed and had fun and done things. Brother Finn and I, we just got on the phone the other day. We laughed and laughed and laughed, reliving a bunch of illustrations of Brother Vineyard and fishing trips. And only two times that we had a lot of blessed memories from hunting and fishing trips. That's when things went good or when things went bad. Other than that, we didn't have really any memories. It didn't matter if we caught anything, shot anything, or what. Something was going to go down that was going to be remembered. It wasn't always good. Brother Finn tried to remind me of something that happened kind of funny, he thought, to me. And on the same trip, I reminded him of something I thought was funny about him. He didn't see it that way. He was in a float tube. He's out there fishing, and all of a sudden, Brother Vineyard putts up there alongside him in the boat, in the bass boat. And old Brother Finn, he really filled up that float ring. You know, that thing was around him. He'd kind of hold him over on all sides and everything else. And Brother Vineyard said, "Here, Brother Finn, let me help you with that." And he reached down there with a knife, and he cut the strap. Kind of holds your body in the tube. He didn't cut Brother Finn. I'm fishing out the back of the boat, and I hear, "How many Brother Finn just went, boop." He just disappeared right out of that tube. That tube just sitting there floating, and all of a sudden, Brother Finn's gone. We're in about 80 feet of water out there on this lake in Arkansas. Brother Finn, come on. He looked like Shamu on a bad day. Well, you see, Brother Finn reminded me of something that happened to me, and so I said, I believe that was the same day as the tube incident. All right, we're off of that. Well, you know, life's fun. Sometimes even in the bad times of life, you've got a reason to look back and say, you know, it was made a whole lot better because I went with it. I went through it with him or with her, and they made me stronger even at a weaker time. I felt like I was maybe better at helping Nick with what he faces because of something I went through. And Nick and I both compared notes about that. And one thing I do not want to be to Nick, Patty, or anybody else at any time is to be a stumbling block in their walk with Christ. Let me go on, say number four. I will not be addicted to anything. I don't want to be addicted to anything. I don't want to be addicted, of course, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, porn, gambling, entertainment addictions. I asked, you know, some Christians last Sunday. Well, I'm not addicted to football, and I'm not in the NFL anymore. I don't care. I said, good. You'll probably be at church tonight then, not home watching the Super Bowl. Oh, well, you know, that's only one time. Oh. I'm done with the NFL because they're done with that flag. Not another nation on the face of this earth that has the freedoms that we have because of that flag. And I am not about to support anything. I find there is life after football. You say, what'd you think of the Super Bowl? I don't know. I don't know what. I don't even know who played. Oh, come on. You got to be into it more than that. Not anymore. The Wallaces know. I used to be a Niner fan. Not anymore. I've given all that stuff away. either giving it away or treat it like alcohol. Just burn it up, destroy it. Folks, I will not be, and we ought not to be, addicted to anything. How about social media? Phew. There's some people can't talk without using the word Facebook or other things. And it's amazing, isn't it? It always starts out good. Even like call waiting. A lot of people don't even remember what that is. What's that? That's where you have to talk to more than one person at a time on the telephone. If I'm talking to you, Brother Taylor, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to Brother Ruiz back there, I'm talking to Brother Ruiz. If I'm talking to Brother Wallace, Brother Wallace, Brother Milliken. But all of a sudden you hear this click, 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 click. And all of a sudden, I got on Facebook. You know what the reason for that was? It's the only way I could access my son-in-law preaching up in Rochester, Minnesota. One time. Just today on the way to church. Beep. And I look at that thing while I was waiting. I've got 26 invitations to draw, to be invited to join somebody on Facebook. Now, folks, listen, if you've written to me and asked me to join you on Facebook, I didn't even look at the names that were inviting me. I just hit no, 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 or delete that thing. Delete it, delete it, delete it. I'm not getting in that thing. Somebody saying about me, but it wasn't me saying it. Now, folks, listen. We cannot afford, for our testimony's sake, to be addicted to anything. Didn't say it was going to be easy. It's just, if we're going to have the testimony we ought to have, let's not be addicted to anything. And then you ask me, do you like coffee? Yeah, I like coffee. Do I feel like I'm addicted? Not until I get that migraine headache that goes with missing my 14th cup this morning. Not really, I'm down to one cup. It's a 5-gallon cup. But don't be addicted to anything. All right, number five, I'm just going to mention these last few. Number five, if there's a doubt, don't. That was Dr. Bob Jones' famous statement. If there's any doubt, don't. The story goes that Dr. Bob Jones was getting ready to go to church one night and preach, and he held his shirt up that he preached in that morning, and he asked his wife, he said, "Sweetheart, do you think this shirt is okay to wear tonight?" And she said, "If there's any doubt, don't." Now, that's a horrible thing, ladies. Men don't like to be reminded of what they've said. They just want a yes or a no. And she told him that way. If there's any doubt, don't. But apply that to any aspect of your life. Should we take part in that activity? If there's any doubt, don't. Should we go to that place? If there's any doubt, don't. Should we watch that program? If there's any doubt, don't. Should I tell that joke or that story? If there's any doubt, don't. You'd be amazed at how much that little principle will help you. Number six, would I want to be doing this when Jesus returns? Whew, how many people are going to be resurrected out of a bar? How many people are going to be resurrected and pulled away from reading a filthy magazine? How many people are going to be resurrected from being right in the middle of a dirty story? Mm-mm. Would I want Jesus to come back when I'm in the middle of this? That's a good principle to live by. Number seven, and I'm done, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, we ought to do for the honor and glory of Christ. Dr. Ford Porter, author of that tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, that was his life verse and principle. Do all, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. I love that verse in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Every time I open my mouth, men can look straight into my heart. So I want to do all to the glory of God. seven principles to live by. There's others, but you form those yourself. You will be living by the principles that are in your heart. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless the Sunday school time that we've had together and use it, dear Lord. I pray again that you'll bless in the service to follow. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. We'll be back in here to look like about 17 minutes. God bless y'all.